This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, we'll hear about a new campaign that emphasizes the importance of spacing out pregnancies. First up, the U.S. Department of Education uses the free application for federal student aid to determine whether you're eligible for help in paying for college, including low-cost loans, grants, and work-study programs. The application may also determine eligibility for state and school aid as well, but it includes more than 100 questions about income, finance, and assets, and can overwhelm many students and parents. Those who decide not to complete it, though, may lose out on some valuable financial support. The Ohio Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators will present College Goals Sunday on February 14th to assist students in completing their applications. UC Claremont College is participating in that statewide event. And joining us from UC Claremont College to discuss the importance of the application and to offer advice on how to complete it, our Assistant Dean of Marketing, Communications, and Recruiting, May Hanna, One-Stop Student Services Director, Vivian Scott, and Associate Director of Student Recruitment, Blaine Kelly. And you can be part of the discussion at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Vivian, May, and Blaine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Vivian, just how important is this form for students and their parents?
Well, it's very important. It can support students who may not have the funds that they need to be able to attend college. And that's one of the reasons why we want to present an opportunity and the assistance to help people to be able to complete the form so that they can take advantage of a lot of federal and state and institutional dollars that they could receive.
Blaine, how much aid can students get each year through the program?
Well, first off, we have to determine if the student is dependent or independent of their parents, and there are certainly federal items that have to take place so we know what that is. But if they're a freshman in college, the typical student is going to be eligible to get $5,500 in student loans. That goes up to a higher amount, $6,500, when they're a sophomore. When they're a junior and a senior, $7,500 each year. And if they happen to be independent, the amounts are actually higher. So when it comes to the FAFSA itself, no matter what somebody's financial situation is, we think it's a good idea for them to fill out the form. It doesn't cost anything, but then they at least have the option of these monies available to them to make school perhaps more possible.
How long has FAFSA been around? When did this all start? Vivian or Blaine did? No?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know that, Vivian. How about you?
It seems like it's been forever because
it has been a long time.
My kids were filling these things out
decades
ago.
Absolutely,
it seems
when
like.
I was in school.
Yeah, let's just say a long time.
A long, long time, but it's providing a valuable service. Now, what is this calculating exactly, Blaine? I mean, what are they looking at? They're looking at like expected support from the parent and how much the family can actually afford versus what it's going to cost to go to school.
Well, going back to my original statement about being dependent or independent, the government believes that the parents should be involved in helping a student pay for college. So because of that, the government wants to see what assets the parent has before we can make an offer, a determination what's eligible, what the student is eligible to actually have. So the government is going to look at the size of the family, the number of members in the family that are actually attending college. They're going to look at their assets as far as what they're making, if they happen to have stocks or bonds, additional properties, other things like that. So there's a whole variety of things that go together in the calculation to determine, you know, what money is going to be available. And then, as I mentioned before, whether they're dependent or independent, then different amounts will be available depending on their status and which year they are in college.
Maya, you have just had experience with doing one of these forms. What was that like for you?
I have. So I have a sophomore in college. She's actually at the University of Cincinnati at the main campus. And it was incredibly overwhelming. I hate to say that because I would think that I could figure something like this out. But I'm pretty lucky that I have Blaine Kelly as a resource at UC Claremont College, who I was able to call up and say, I looked at the FAFSA. It's incredibly overwhelming. And he said, I'll set aside some time and come over. And so he's helped me just like he would, you know, any one of the parents that would come in or families that would come in on Sunday. And we sat down. And I think if I were to do it myself, it probably would have taken me hours to complete on my own, because it's not intuitive when you go online and you start reading through the questions and the information. And he sat there with me and screen by screen helped me go through it. And it was, gosh, such a relief to have that guidance and support. And so, you know, I was very grateful.
Vivian, how often do you hear people yell help?
Well, actually, that's where I was going with that. It's interesting that May would point out the overwhelm that many people experience when they're presented with the form. And a lot of people are taken advantage of because there are companies who will come in and charge you to help you with that because it is so overwhelming. And people forget that the acronym FAFSA means Free Application for Federal Student Aid, and we are offering that assistance so that we can help people so that they're not taken advantage of while they're trying to take advantage of that process.
And one thing I'd like to add to that is if you go to a search engine and you put in financial aid and hit enter, one of the first things that comes up is an ad that's for FAFSA.com. Yes. And .com is a very normal sounding address, but that's not the real one. So it's actually FAFSA.gov is the proper one. So if you're filling out your FAFSA and all of a sudden they say, please enter your credit card, you're not on the right one.
Right. And people have to remember that the advice is not going to cost them anything.
That's correct.
Blaine, how often do you hear people say, oh, my gosh, I can't figure this out. I really, really need help with it.
Well, it's pretty much a weekly occurrence. And so we have College Goal Sunday coming up, the once-a-year deal this Sunday, as was mentioned. But we offer free workshops every single week. So on Fridays at 11:30, a student can come to UC Claremont, and we'll to the Student Services Building, Room 100. We would help them with that. And we're also very fortunate to have on our campus, but it's not part of UC, it's a TRIO grant program, which is the Southwest Ohio Educational Opportunity Center, and they can help folks at a variety of sites around Greater Cincinnati Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. So if somebody can't actually make it to College Goals Sunday, these folks would be a great resource to talk to because they could help them set up an appointment and help them fill it out as well.
Vivian, what if a student thinks, I may not qualify for aid? Should they apply for this anyhow? Should they go ahead and fill out the application?
Absolutely. A lot of people are mistaken when they feel as though their family income disqualifies them. As Blaine mentioned earlier, there are a lot of factors that they take into account. And one of the things that they look at is not only your income and your assets, but your family size and the number of people who are attending college. So if you're looking solely at your income, you may think that you don't qualify. But when you factor in those things such as you've got two students in college or you've got other expenses that will kind of offset that, sometimes people are eligible and don't realize that they are. So I would encourage everyone to fill it out. And then there are sometimes forms of aid that you need to fill out the FAFSA for, even if it's a scholarship. You need that FAFSA on file. So you want to make sure that you do have that to make sure that you have gauged any eligibility that you have for free aid, as well as making sure that any institutional aid that you're eligible for, you've got that on file as well.
Does it matter what type of college or university that you're planning to attend as far as whether you fill this form out or what you do with it? Does it matter whether it's private versus public or a two-year college or a four-year college?
No, it doesn't. It just needs to be an institution that is eligible to administer Title IV funds.
Do you actually have to be admitted to a university first, Vivian, before you can fill out the form?
No, you can fill out the FAFSA, and you can actually, as you're determining which college or university you wish to attend, you can specify up to 10 institutions on that application, and each institution will receive that FAFSA. Whether or not they bring that in will determine whether or not they bring that in and create an offer for you.
What about work study? Do you have to fill out the application if you're trying to get work study?
Yes, you do. And they actually asked you whether or not you're interested in work study as a part of that application.
Blaine, when do you start filling these out?
Well, now's a great time. So we've traditionally said tax season is the time to fill out the FAFSA. Sooner is always better than later, especially if a family has a student that's a senior in high school right now that's on a free or reduced lunch program. You really need to get your FAFSA done before the end of this month to have the greatest options of the most money available. But it's good to get this done as soon as possible. The rules are going to change a little bit for students who have like a junior in high school right now. When they will be a senior next fall, they'll actually be able to start doing their FAFSA next October. So the timetable is going to change a little bit. But for right now, this year, whether you're an adult that wants to start attending this coming fall, or you're a senior in high school about to graduate, going to come this fall, now is the time, the best time to fill out your FAFSA.
And once you've done this, do you have to reapply every year, Blaine?
You would just renew it. So a lot of your items will be pre-filled. Of course, you could change your email or your phone or your address if you needed, but many of the items will already be pre-filled from year to year, so it's not starting fresh every year.
So, and is there a cutoff date for applying for the fall?
I don't believe there's any cutoff date. Have we heard anything on that, Vivian? But I don't think so.
No, and traditionally the cutoff date is well into the next academic year. Yeah. But as Blaine mentioned, your best opportunity for getting the most aid is making sure that you've done that early in the academic, early before the academic year that starts in August.
May, based on your experience, would you say it's better to get some help filling this out than trying to tackle it on your own?
Based on my own experience, yes. I would highly recommend getting some help, and it's certainly stress-free. But as you were mentioning earlier, Blaine was mentioning earlier, when I did Google the FAFSA and I started to fill it out, I actually started filling out the wrong FAFSA, the one that is promoted by a for-profit organization. And so, and in that one, I would want your listeners to be aware of this. If there's at any point, if there's, a prompt for your credit card, you're in the wrong site. So I started doing that.
And well, they will turn it in for you, which is darn nice after they take your $80. But
right. Right.
But again, you don't need to be paying that money. That's yeah.
Since it's the free application, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We will continue our conversation about conquering the free application for federal student aid. And you can join us with your questions, 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Joining us from UC Claremont College to discuss the importance of the free application for student aid and to offer advice on how to complete the application, our Assistant Dean of Marketing, Communications, and Recruiting, May Hanna, One-Stop Student Services Director, Vivian Scott, and Associate Director of Student Recruitment, Blaine Kelly. You can call with your questions and comments, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. May, you found the answer to an earlier question. How long has the form been around?
Since 1953.
Ta-da. That many years.
Was we love it, the web.
Was it 100 questions, though, in 1953, I wonder?
I'm guessing not. It says that the analysis for the form was created by John Monroe of Harvard University. So it was the first financial aid need analysis formula. So, and then the next year, I think the form was created. So
the form is 63 years old at this point, if my math is correct.
Right, and if the site is correct.
If the site's correct as well. Vivian, when you're starting to fill one of these out, what do you need to do when you first sit down and you start filling out the form? What kind of information should you have in front of you, and how much preparation should you be doing ahead of time?
Well, you want to make sure that you, of course, have your tax information. That's going to be the biggest thing that people aren't able to really answer without documentation. They're going to ask you information about the student, about their parents, their income, and they're going to be looking at whether or not you've filed taxes already, whether or not you plan to, or whether or not you won't. And so you'll need to have that information available, your W-2s if you haven't filed yet, or your tax form, a copy of that if you already have.
So the students' parents, they don't have to have filed taxes yet. You can do that with whatever information you have, right, Blaine?
Absolutely. Okay. You can estimate income the first time around, and you can submit that. That allows you to have actually submitted your FAFSA for some deadlines, such as for work study, to make sure that you meet that date. And then once you file your taxes, you can go in and you can make a correction to that FAFSA.
Blaine, what advice would you have for when you're first sitting down to start on this form?
Well, as Vivian mentioned, obviously being prepared and having the right documents is going to help. You're going to need both for one parent, at least, and the student, their social security numbers are going to have to be placed on here. The tax information as well. If you're going to come to an event like College Goal Sunday and you haven't filed, and a lot of people haven't. I mean, many of us just got our W-2s, so it's like, my goodness, how have I had time to get this together? But it would be great for you to either bring your 2014 tax form if your numbers are somewhat similar, or bring your W-2s. And again, we can try to extrapolate best we can to put the right information in there. And as Vivian mentioned, we can always go back after the FAFSA is completed to do a correction and then add the right numbers. And after a certain amount of time, after you've actually completed your IRS tax form on the FAFSA, there's a button that is an IRS retrieval tool where we can actually leave the FAFSA, grab your numbers straight off of the tax return, and they'll be input onto the FAFSA so that we know all that's correct. So one additional tool that may or may not be available to you depending on when you file your taxes and when you actually will fill out your FAFSA.
513-419-7100 to join us. Let's talk with Lynn in Lebanon. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, I've got two kids in college right now, a sophomore and a freshman, and I have a sophomore in high school. Every year we do the FAFSA. We're pretty religious about trying to get it done, but my husband and I have two small businesses. And during the tough times that we've had the past 8 years in this country, we still kept our businesses open. We still paid our employees insurance, much to our personal sacrifice financially. And yet, we come out of the FAFSA getting $900 for one kid and $1,500 for the other. This is a struggle. We've got OSU at $22,000 and Akron at $20,000. And our promise to our kids is to try to pay for half, if not a little bit more. And they're coming up with the rest. And this is what we're getting. I mean, we don't live extravagantly, but I'm just shocked. And I think one of your panelists mentioned, get it done now, take your 2014 forms if you have to from your taxes. And that's what we were doing all night last night via telephone with two kids.
Well, the bottom line is the government, again, as I mentioned before, when you've got students that are dependent, they're going to take a look at what assets you have. And one of the questions, the final question actually in the parent section, is going to ask three questions. How much do you have liquid in the bank as far as checking and savings? Mm-hmm. The second question is going to be in line with what kind of stocks and bonds do you have, or secondary properties? And then the third and final question is going to be, what is the worth of your private business or investment farm? So you have to put certain numbers in there. It's awesome that you have two businesses and are taking care of your employees. But then that brings up the next point. You have two children in school. There's only going to be so many loans offered to the students. And as I mentioned before, if they're dependent, you've got a freshman and a sophomore. At most, they're going to get $5,500 and $6,500, and it may be less than that. So that's not going to pay the bill of a $20,000 or $22,000 school experience for the year. So in many cases, the parent will be offered a lovely loan of their own, known as the Parent Plus Loan, which doesn't have as good of a rate as the student loans. But there are, typically schools that are public are going to make other monies available. Private schools have some different calculations and funds that may be available. But in many cases, it's very difficult for the student to do it on their own because the government simply won't give them enough money to pay the entire bill. So we have to look at other things, the parents or other loans or other sources of money to make it possible.
Is that complaint, her complaint, is that a common one you hear? You go to all the trouble of filling out the form and then you find out, well, you're eligible for either not much money or you're eligible for a student loan.
Well,
I'd say a lot of middle class parents are experiencing that.
Yeah.
And it is frustrating.
Yeah. Julie from Westchester called, and she wanted to know, she said it wasn't clear on the form about liabilities. Can you claim that? Vivian or Blaine?
What are you thinking, Vivian?
I think I want clarity on that question.
Okay, and unfortunately, she's not on the line anymore, so we're not 100% sure, but just, can you claim expenses, debts, liabilities anywhere on the form? I guess that's what she's getting at. It says you have to list assets, so...
It is going to ask for that. So you have to put your adjusted gross income down.
Right.
So it's going to ask how many people are in the family as well. So how many, in the big box on page one of your FAFSA you put down as far as your exemptions. There are a number of places where you can put other items, and really depending on what you claim on your taxes will pretty much determine which areas of the FAFSA you're going to have to fill out and put those things in there. But the FAFSA doesn't care about debt load. It doesn't care about a lot of different things, so they're just pretty much looking at the assets you've got, and they make their calculation off of that.
Okay. Amy sent us an email. She's filling out her application. She's headed for law school. She's independent, but the form suggests she provide her parents' info. She wanted to know if you had any comments on that.
I know certain students are given the option to mm-hmm. provide parental income, and if she does not need to, Blaine, you can correct me if I'm wrong. If she's not required to, they won't count that when they're calculating her estimated family
so everybody
contribution.
Yeah, that's it. And when it comes to the question about parents, they're typically going to show up even if the student may be independent. There's the option to put down the parents' information. And if you are independent, which is 24 or older, and if you're younger than that, you're either going to need to be currently married or have children or be a military veteran. So being in the Guard or the Reserve isn't enough. You actually have had to have been deployed and be a veteran to qualify that way. And there's a few other classifications, categories where you could be independent. But otherwise, it'll still ask, hey, do you want to put the parent stuff here? Not required. I would say don't do it. Put down your information. They'll make their calculation off of that, and then you're going to know what monies are available, and then you've got a choice to make of which of those you'll want to accept.
So give us a little final advice here, Vivian. Being prepared ahead of time, what are some other things you can do to successfully fill out this form?
Have your documentation in order. Make sure that you're not paying anybody to do what can be done for free. And take advantage of the fact that there are several locations across the state that are offering a College Gold Sunday experience to assist people with completing the form.
And May, do you want to go ahead and tell us about the one that UC Claremont's holding on Sunday?
So we are holding College Gold Sunday from 2 to 4 o'clock on this Sunday, February 14th. And if you go to our website, there is a registration form. If you go to ucclaremont.edu, you'll find information about that. And our partners at UC Blue Ash are doing the same thing for Hamilton County folks. So if you go to their website, you can find the registration information.
And you don't have to be going to UC Claremont or UC Blue Ash or UC. Any student, any school can take advantage of this?
That's absolutely correct.
And folks across the state or in northern Kentucky even can still utilize these events. So you can also go to OhioCollegeGoalSunday.org. There are 52 different options within Ohio. You want to pre-register for that so the folks, whether it's at Claremont or at Blue Ash or wherever you decide, know that you're coming because we have to have a computer ready for you, but we'll be happy to assist you through the process. So don't worry about figuring it out on your own. Come to College Gold Sunday and we'll help you out.
And we have more information about that on our website, wvxu.org, as well as some information about the Covington Library is holding sessions on this as well. So wvxu.org if you'd like to look that up. And thanks, everybody, for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mark.
From UC Claremont College, Assistant Dean of Marketing, Communications, and Recruiting, May Hanna, One-Stop Student Services Director, Vivian Scott, and Associate Director, Student Recruitment, Blaine Kelly. Coming up, want a healthier baby? Space out your pregnancies. That's the message of a new campaign designed to help reduce Hamilton County's infant mortality rate. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.